All right, we begin with a Wellness Wednesday Q&A for Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd. Your questions about wellness or weight loss will go to emailers I'm seeing here, like Amy and Emily and Brian. And we'll get to those questions coming up on WOGO and WOGO.com. Booming out at FM 103.1. Love being on the FM side of the dial, as well as AM 680 and WOGO.com with a podcast to follow. We just started down the road of 32, yes, 32 questions from Christina. We're four in. We've got 28 more to go. And we'll get to some of those after we hear from some other listeners. And then later after 11:30, we say goodbye to Karen. She starts to meet with clients at her beautiful Fall Creek office. You can make your appointment at 877-3510. But we've got politics. Trump and Clinton win in New York. Pat Buchanan's got a column today. He says, it doesn't matter if Trump wins. The West is still in serious trouble. Thank you, Pat. Paul Ryan on with Colbert last night. And Rafael Cruz, the father of Ted Cruz, talking to Breitbart and their morning show on Sirius XM, saying Donald Trump would be worse than Hillary Clinton, but he cannot beat Hillary Clinton. So a portion of his interview with Steve Bannon on Breitbart. All of that ahead, but right now it's the Bean Queen, Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd on wellness and weight loss. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Mark.
All right. First segment here, let's tackle some of the listeners' questions, and then the last 15 minutes we'll try to make some more headway on 32 questions from Christina. We're four in. We'll get to, well, start with question five. We'll see as far as we can go. No promises. Here we go. Amy says, hi, Mark and Karen. I have a couple of questions. When I'm counting my vegetable servings, should I be counting them in the raw state? I saute some of my vegetables, and during we kind of answered this the last question. She says, I saute some of my vegetables, and during the cooking process, of course, they shrink down. Does that matter at all? Let's take that first.
Yeah. They shrink. Depends on what the vegetables are. They don't shrink that much. I mean, if you think about a fresh green bean compared to a boiled green bean or a broccoli, I mean, you got to boil it to death. It gets to shrink so much. So for my purposes, I just tell my clients, if you're going to need half a cup, that's for an average person's size and weight. Half a cup of vegetables is a serving size for you. And so whether that's chopped up broccoli or whether that's chopped up raw carrots, or, you know, we estimate, you say, well, I'm eating baby carrots. Okay, well, how many baby carrots would make a half cup? Well, you got the fat ones or the skinny ones, you know. And we just do an estimation. The only one difference that I make is if we're eating salads, because they are so fluffy that, you know, when you have a tossed salad, they are not compressed or packed down or dense. And so that is a double. So you would eat a one cup of the lettuce greens compared to a half a cup. So, no, I never bother with the water because it's so small that it's not worth it.
All right, next question. Amy says, my husband is a runner. He somewhat follows Karen's recommendations. He eats the beans and proteins at every meal, but because he runs, he wants to eat a lot of carbs. He also has a higher metabolism. He eats granola bars, yogurt with fruit, pastas and breads. For some of those foods, the sugar is less than 5 grams per serving, but a lot of the foods are higher than that. Any suggestions?
Yeah, the best thing for him is to eat those dense carbohydrates, like the rices and the potatoes and the noodles. Those are very dense sources, but they have less than 5 grams of sugar per serving. So that's a better source for him, is to, we call it carb loading, so that he can, you get eat that, and then before you, like, going to run a race tomorrow morning, you spend that evening before, you have a big meal of spaghetti,
right,
and bread, and so that you have loaded up. You're actually loading muscle glycogen and liver glycogen so that you'll have that for the race the next day. Hmm. So, I mean, all we have to do is, he can eat the same thing, just take the sugar out. That's all.
All right, very good.
It'll still work great.
All right, let's see. There's another question about our podcast. I'll have to check on that question separately for Amy. So let's just move on to questions right here on the air regarding wellness and weight loss. And Emily says, I just started a healthy lifestyle small group called the Daniel Plan. I've heard of that through my church, and a lot of women really are excited about it, but a few are really overwhelmed by all the information about what is good and bad. And Emily says, I know you generally don't promote baby steps in eating, rather going all out with your plan, which, Emily says, I've really appreciated and have benefited through your teaching. She says, I don't think that they're ready to give up their pizza, soda, et cetera, habits, but I'm encouraging them to just try and make some small changes. What do you think of this? And do you have any advice for Emily as a leader, first of all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's got a good point. It's just, it is overwhelming to think of all the changes you'd have to make in your diet. It's just, it's a complete rewrite of your life. It's a lifestyle change. The best thing that anybody could ever do is get rid of your sugars. Just stop that. Stop eating your desserts.
Hmm.
That's the biggest thing that we could do. And then after that, I mean, you want to do a positive thing, is to then eat your beans. Now, will that correct everything, cutting out your sweets and eating beans? It will not correct everything, but it will sure correct a whole lot.
Yeah, all right, and Emily continues to say, also, I've loved meditating on the verse in Corinthians about taking care of our bodies, which are temples of the Holy Spirit. I think 1 Corinthians 6:19 talks about that. She says, we are not our own, and we're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. She says, I totally believe that physical health has much to do with spiritual well-being. We wouldn't physically harm our churches, so we should be similarly caring for our physical bodies as we are temples of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Amen.
All right. So that was in response to the last hour. It was kind of a broadside posted in social media in general against Christian media. And when it said, there's too much talk about food and politics and sports. And so anyhow, I just thought, you know, we had somebody, the preaching of the gospel from Pastor Mike Thompson from Faith Free Church in Stanley on Sunday. He preached the straight up pure gospel. And we brought that to listeners on Tuesday. I said, this is at the core who we are, what we're about, especially, I should say, on our sister station, WWIB and WIB.com, in the last hour. But that doesn't mean that that's all we're going to air. We're going to do the news, the sports, the weather. We're going to do talk. We're going to do all of these other things. But at the core, that's who we are, you know?
So. Yes.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's see. We've got Brian as well wants to know. Hey, Mark, if possible, ask these. Okay, here we go. Karen, what about sodium nitrate in meat products?
Good question.
He says, I've heard a lot of people say that it's harmful. Is it as bad as it sounds?
Sodium nitrates are always harmful. They are carcinogenic. They can be formed into what are called nitrosamines, which is a type of protein combined with a nitrogen. And so those are known carcinogenics. So are so many other things in our life. It's just incredible. It blows me away what are known carcinogenics. But, yes, it can be a problem. So where do we find nitrosamines, or where do we find the nitrogens that are going to, the nitrates? They're called nitrates and nitrites, and what was just a difference of how many oxygen atoms are connected to it. So they do the same thing. They are found in red meats because when you butcher an animal like a cow and you let the meat, you wrap it up and you put it on the shelf for market in the store, if you don't put something in there to keep it from losing its red, healthy color, it will turn gray. And I will tell you, none of us going to the grocery store, if we look at gray meat, we're not going to buy it. It's going to say, that's nasty, that's old,
right.
That's bad.
Right.
And so what manufacturers do is they put in the nitrates so that the meat will retain that color. And so people will be more likely to buy it, and they do.
Hmm.
So what happens when this stuff goes into our gut? It can be converted into nitrosamine. However, we have this little backup. It's the thing from the other lady. What would be the most important things you could teach, you know, a Daniel group, beginning with a group of women? One, get rid of your sugars. Two, use your soluble fiber. Your soluble fiber is so powerful. It is the most powerful tool we can use against the converting of nitrates into nitrosamines. So we're going to negate it right in the gut. So what I'm saying, if you're having red meat, eat your beans with it. You're cool. You're good. You're all right. You're not going to have cancer from that. Although there's so many things. Mark, I just read a statistic yesterday. It blew me away that in 2005, the American Cancer Society finally declared, because at a long time they've been saying, no, cancer's not on the rise, you know, certain cancers on the going down and all that. We always hear these, you know, try to make us feel better about cancer. But they actually published the statistic that cancer has now gone above and beyond heart disease. Heart disease has been the number one killer of Americans for time on end. It's always heart disease, number one killer. Not so anymore. It's cancer.
Hmm.
Cancer. And we got to get a hold of this.
Yeah.
And cancer is a disease of our diet. It's a disease of our diet.
Hmm.
And yet we just ignore it. We worry about all these, you know, people who have, you know, we had somebody die of the flu. We had a person die of the measles. This is a catastrophe. This is awful. We get the whole country up in arms.
Yeah.
We have people dying of cancer by the by...
Well, I mean, I think there is a lot of concern about cancer. I mean, you know, but you don't think there is? I mean, I think there's a lot of concern
there's
about
concern.
It.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, you know, all kinds of people were working on all kinds of solutions to, you know, solve all the riddles and the problems of cancers and all the mutations they go through and blah, blah, blah. But the problem is that while we're working on it, we're busy, you know, we're sipping our cup of coffee while we're sitting at, you know, our computer trying to figure out the molecular structure of BSTSE, which is a cancer-fighting thing that we use in fighting at certain cancers, and yet we're drinking our coffee and eating our donut while we're doing it.
All right.
It's like, did you know that coffee and the donut are creating this for you?
Well, you may not fully applaud this choice, but before this show, I was in a convenience store looking at a donut or a banana, and I got the bananas.
Oh,
so
my
there you go.
I am very happy with you. Yes.
All right.
Here's you get a thumbs up, man.
Thank you. It's always good to be affirmed. Here's the second question from Brian here, and then we're going to have to, well, and then we got another Brian, I think, and then we're going to take a break and try to get to Christina's mountain of questions. But Brian says, my second question is more of a theological one. Again, we did the last show on Christian Radio, WWIB and web.com. Full disclosure, Christian Karen and I are both Christians. Second question is more of a theological one. For Karen, from a friend of Brian's at work, and he says, I know that you've said many times that you don't really recommend eating fruit because of its high sugar content. We just covered that.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, I flew under the radar with the banana. Thank you. But you, I compared it to the better than the donut. You also said that some of your clients from more tropical areas have poor health because they eat so much fruit.
They do.
As we look to move to Liberia, again, there's going to be a lot of fruit eating there. They love their mangoes, etc. That being said, as a Christian, how do you personally view the original role of fruit in God's creation? Brian says it seems sort of strange that it can cause so much damage.
Right. And it is a very valid question, a very valid question. First of all, most people look back and they say, okay, well, you know, Adam and Eve lived in the garden and they lived on the fruit of the garden. First of all, we are not in the garden and we were never there and we don't know what was that fruit. Was that fruit something sweet? I don't know. And if it was something sweet, we have to recognize the physical health, because Adam and Eve were physical beings. They lived in a body like ours, similar to ours. Their body was set up so that they would not experience death, that they could have lived forever, except they sinned and they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and so they died. They would, God said, you will die. And so they did. They were going to experience a physical and then a spiritual death also. And so at that time, when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, the physical structure of mankind changed. How we react and all these pathways that I was talking about earlier that are going on in the body that can create cancer and create disease, all of that altered when they were kicked out of the garden, because then they were going to experience a death. And by the way, there was one other time that we experienced a physical, massive physical change in our bodies, and then that was at the flood, because God became very angry with mankind because of their wickedness, and he said, I've had it. I'm going to send a flood. We're going to wipe everybody out except for Noah and his family. And at that time, it's Genesis 6:3, he said, and I am not going to strive with man forever, therefore I'm going to limit his days to 120 years.
Yeah, right.
And that is where we are now. We're in the third age of mankind. So the first age was Adam and Eve. They had bodies that could handle whatever fruit it was. Maybe it was chock full of sugar. I don't know. No one knows. Maybe we would have picked the apple off the tree and it tasted as sweet as a carrot. It wasn't sweet. We don't know that. But we do know Adam and Eve's body was different than what our bodies are today. And we also know the body of Noah, because he didn't live to 120. He lived way past 120. People in Noah's time, contemporaries of him, they were living into their 900s, that their body had changed.
Methuselah, the oldest, at 969.
Then 969. So you could live into 969. And so your body was able to handle whatever fruit or whatever eating you were doing. And so you were able to. But after the flood, we got 120 years, people. That's all we got, is 120. And so we're not going to go past that. Now then, that's the first part of the question. We have a different metabolism. We have a different physical construct than the two ages before this one. So that's the first thing. And all the fruit trees were created back at Adam and Eve, and of course there were fruit trees after the flood too. So the next question becomes is, could we handle a certain amount of fruit if we were eating right? Mark, if you're eating right, you can have your banana from Quick Trip. because you're eating right the rest of the days of the year. I mean, you're not eating junk. You're not doing bad stuff. You're not sucking down coffee or whatever. And so you have some room so that you can handle sweets. That's the first thing, is how well are we eating the rest of the time. Second thing is what a small world we have become. That, you know, what fruit would we be getting in Wisconsin today? Which one of us are going to walk outside today, Mark, and pick a fruit off the vine? Which one are going to pick an apple today? We're going to pick strawberries from the patch today. We're going to pick blueberries from the patch today. There are no blueberries. There are no strawberries. There are no fruits to pick right now. Why? We just come through a very long, harsh winter. There was nothing there. And so because our world has become so small, we can go into any grocery store and you have stuff shipped in from Mexico, from Brazil, from California, from Florida. You've got fruits from all over the place because we have a smaller world and we are shipping things to all these places. So that does go back to the people, and I'm very interested. I have a question for you, Mark. The people who live in these hot tropical countries, I talk to lots of them, Papua New Guinea and Philippines and Belize, and their health is terrible. Terrible, because they have the capacity to grow vegetables, but they don't because fruit's so easy. It's right there. It's hanging on the tree. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make an effort. What happens in the country you're going to? Do they grow vegetables there?
You know, I know we planted. There was planted a lot of rice. I don't know. My wife would know more. I think that there's some, but not a lot. I think.
Yeah, and is it because the ground won't grow it because it's such poor soil, or is it just because there's no interest in eating vegetables when you can? I don't know.
I think, you know, it's like the potato greens is something. I don't know if that counts as a vegetable or not, but that's...
Greens, if it's the top of the potato, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's something that is used pretty regularly. And so whatever you can to blend with the chicken and the rice, and that's pretty much the deal. And they're much... No, they don't suffer from the obesity we do, I'll tell you that, though.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of other... They may have a lot of other health challenges regarding malaria and dirty drinking water and things like that, but... Hey, we got one more question here.
Sure.
From Brian this morning here on WOGO. And, boy, it's already 10:22. We're not going to have 11:22 any time for Christina's Mountain. All right, here we go. Brian says, I've heard that high heat, 400 degrees, causes corn oil to become toxic. Okay. What does Karen think of this? This has nothing to do with saturated fast questions. You know, wants to know what's the safest oil to use when making popcorn since it's high heat.
Okay. I don't know what he's referring to, that corn oil at a temperature of 400 degrees Fahrenheit is going to become toxic and it doesn't have anything to do with the saturated fats. I don't know anything else it would have to do with except saturated fats. There's nothing else there.
Yeah.
When you're looking at an oil, you're looking at a chemical.
But it seems like it's related to maybe people talking about the unhealthfulness of popcorn, maybe. Is that possibly?
Maybe so, but I mean... You know, if you're thinking it's going to make some enzyme in the oil that's going to turn into some big magnastic, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's nothing attached to these fatty acid chains.
Right.
And at 400 degrees Fahrenheit, whatever's there is dead.
All right.
It's gone.
We got to take a very short break. We'll have about 5 minutes with Karen. She's going to try to answer one or two more of these mountain of questions from Christina. We'll try to do questions 5 and 6 when we come back. WOGO.
Matt Chilson's here making magic happen at his Chilson stores in Cadott and Halley. What's up?
Dave, 1 week deal is here and the 0% is the deal. 84 months, that's right, 7 years with no interest on our Chrysler 200s, Dodge Darts, and many of our Ram 1500 models. This will save our customers thousands on their next new vehicle purchase.
Hang on, you can get 0% for 7 years on a Chrysler 200, Dodge Dart, or select Ram 1500s?
That's right, Dave. No interest, nada, nothing. 0% for up to 84 months, only at our Chilson stores.
Hey, look, it's Mark Chilson talking about the stores in Cadott and Halley. What's going on?
Dave, during our 1 week to deal, the best savings of the year are here on remaining 2015 Grand Cherokee models. With $4,500 off all in-stock models, or if you're looking for a new minivan, our lowest price of the year is back. We have a brand new 2016 Grand Caravan for only $18,999. Check out either one of these deals, plus many more, at one of our Chilson family stores, or visit us online at ChilsonMotors.com, and let our family take care of your family.
Looking for an apartment? Contact Peters Rentals, a landlord you can trust. See available apartments online at petersrentals.net or call 715-831-2106. Their office is located at 1620 South Hastings Way, Eau Claire. Peters Rentals has a full-time management and maintenance staff to promptly assist tenants. With over 40 years of owning and managing apartments, they know that satisfied tenants are happy customers. Contact them online at petersrentals.net. That's petersrentals.net or call 715-831-2106.
Create the perfect outdoor living space with an 11% rebate on everything at Menards. Whether it's a backyard paradise, a spacious patio, or a sturdy retaining wall, Menards has the landscape blocks available in stock. 16-inch cobblestone or brick-faced patio blocks are just $222 each after 11% rebate. Get an 11% rebate on everything now at Menards. Good through April 23rd. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
All right, Chilson Automotive, family of dealerships. Their family taking care of your family since 1959. Chilson Automotive. All right, we have just 5 minutes left with Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd. She likely has a client waiting, as she typically does on Wednesdays at 11:30. So we need to tackle some of the questions. We started down the road with her in the last hour. 32 questions last week came our way from Christina, and we're trying to tackle those today here on WOGO and pick up with where we left off. And I need to try to track them down. In the meantime, Karen, boy, you've answered a lot of questions today.
Yeah, because we had a lot more than the 32.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good, Mark. It's good.
It is good. All right, so I am trying to track them down, and I'm hoping you can fill for just 1 second.
Oh, you mean the 32 questions?
I'm just asking you to. All right, here we go. I'm finding what I sent you. Here we go.
Okay.
Oh, you probably have the next
one. I have it right in front of me, too.
All right. I got to do my host job here.
You got to do the host job. I'm not going to take your job from you. You read the question.
Please, you could. I'm sure you could take my job from me.
No, I couldn't push all those buttons you do. No way.
Have Karen. All right, here we go. Here's question five. Thank you. What are the implications of elevated liver BUN numbers? BUN. What are the implications of elevated liver BUN numbers? Christina's mountain of questions. It's number 32.
Okay.
It's number five.
No, number five, but 32. Yeah.
Wishful thinking there. Go
ahead. BUN sounds like a cinnamon bun or something you would eat, or bun in your hair. It's actually an acronym, and it stands for blood, urea, nitrogen. You know, there's a question from somebody in WWIB that asked about, hey, how can you tell if your kidneys are going bad if it's too much protein? And I talked about the creatinine and then also the estimated glomerular filtration rate. This is another one, the BUN. The BUN, the blood, urea, nitrogen, is an indication of proteins that have been broken down and converted into a carbohydrate. That only happens when a person doesn't eat enough carbohydrates, and carbohydrates are found in your beans and your vegetables and your nuts and seeds. And so, and it's also in bread and rice and cereal and a lot of other stuff. But you see, I emphasize the beans first, Mark. So,
of course, you're the bean queen.
Of course. So full of carbohydrates. So if you're not getting any carbohydrates, I mean, all you eat is meat. That's all you have is chicken and beef and fish and eggs, and you don't eat anything else, you're going to be in ketosis, period. You're going to be in ketosis because there's no carbohydrates in those foods. And that's all you consume. That's all you got. So you have to have a certain amount of blood glucose. If you do not, you shall die, because blood glucose is what forms the fuel for your brain, your whole central nervous system to work. Now, that is not an excuse to run out there and eat sugar, because you get all these this blood glucose from all these other good carbohydrate sources. But let's say you're eating this diet that is a ketotic. That means you're going to be in ketosis. Well, ketosis means you have to take a protein molecule and you have to convert it into a carbohydrate molecule. We call it a sugar, so that we can continue to live and fuel the brain. Well, to do that, you got to take this molecule that's got this big hunky nitrogen atom on it and strip it off. Well, to strip it off is called the deamination process. Amine is another word for nitrogen. So deamine, strip off the nitrogen, and then you're going to have a sugar left over, and it goes along its happy little way and takes care of fueling your central nervous system. But now we get this little free-floating nitrogen. I said in this last segment in WWIB that, or maybe it was on this one, they're all getting running together on me now, so that the hydrogens love, love, love to bind with everything. Hydrogen's always going to just jump in there, make friends. It's just a very friendly group, hydrogen atoms. And so it's going to come in there and bind with that nitrogen atom. And when you have hydrogen binding on a nitrogen, you're going to create a compound called ammonia. Ammonia, bad news, people. Ammonia will kill you. Do not drink ammonia. Do not smell ammonia. Don't do any of that thing. So we have ammonia. We have ammonia molecule in the bloodstream. We're going to die. What are we going to do? Liver, kidneys, actually kidneys to the rescue, and they say, huh, we will attach a hydroxyl, which is an oxygen and a hydrogen. Hydrogen involved, again, hydrogen involved in everything. And so oxygen, hydrogen, called a hydroxyl particle, attaches itself to the ammonia molecule, and now it is a urea. It's a molecule of urea. And then that urea, we can measure in the bloodstream, and then we can say this is how much protein that you have been converting from protein into carbohydrates. So if you're eating too much protein, or here's another thing it can cause too, an elevated BUN, and this is more common than having a ketotic diet, it's when you're slightly dehydrated. This is so common. You'll go in, you'll have your labs done, and you've been told, and rightly so, you need to go in fasting. And so you're not supposed to eat anything after a certain time at night. Usually they tell you midnight or whatever your doctor tells you to prepare for your lab test that you're going in the next morning for. And most people, when they go fasting, they don't realize that they can still have water. Because all your tests, unless for one very specific reason, your doctor would tell you that, but that would be rare. You can have water, but we don't eat anything. We don't drink anything. We just stop because we want to make sure our lab results are accurate. And so we go into our labs and we're already dehydrated. And so it's very common to have a little bit off BUN, and it's usually just 1 or 2 points out of the range. It's usually just a little bit low, and that's because we are a little bit dehydrated. So it's a sign of dehydration too.
There you go. There's your, again, Christina wanted more lengthy answers, and we got some of that. Let's try one more. You know what? It's already 11:30. We can't. We're out of time. You got a client to go see. We'll pick it up with number 6 next week, and we'll try to climb the mountain a little further, Karen.
Sounds good.
We will get the mountain climbed before the end of May, right?
Yeah, we can do that if you want, but don't forget I got this lady calling from England.
No, I know what you mean. No, we'll do what we can next week, and then we'll pick it up again in May if we have to. Karen, thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Mark.
Fall Creek nutritionist Karen Hurd, again, just, I don't know how she crams that much knowledge into her brain, but she does. She's amazing and privileged to work with her, and entertaining as well as informative. So there you go. Wellness or weight loss, give her a call, 715-877-3510. Check her website, KarenHurd.com. And I like to think of, I said it in the last hour on WIB, that it's kind of like bringing Karen out of the bullpen. It's baseball season, and she's the relief pitcher. People are going to try. They're going to look for help to whatever ails them. From everybody they can. But finally, when you've tried the starting pitcher, you've tried long relief, short relief, you call in Karen. You bring her out of the bullpen and see if she can help you in the wellness or weight loss area. All right, when we come back here on WOGL, Rafael Cruz, the father of Ted Cruz, who took a beating in Texas, in New York last night, comes up with 0 delegates. Donald Trump gets 89. John Kasich, the other 6 of the 95 on the Republican side. Rafael Cruz in an interview this morning saying Donald Trump would be worse than Hillary Clinton, but he cannot beat Hillary Clinton. That's next, WOGL.
At Chippewa Manor, our mission is to comfort God's people. Our skilled nursing and rehabilitation services feature inpatient and outpatient care after surgery or hospitalization. Our therapists are experienced and caring, and our newly remodeled rehab wing is state-of-the-art. Choose rehab at Chippewa Manor. We'll help you get home feeling well again as soon as possible. For more information or to arrange a tour, visit us today at ChippewaManor.com.
Lake Halley Golf, new ownership and remodeled, traditional yet modern.
Here's your Wednesday weather on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. Mostly cloudy, high near 67 with east to southeast winds at 5 to 10 tonight. A 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows around 50. Still a 50% chance of showers on Thursday with highs near 65. Friday, though, should be sunny, a little cooler, highs near 60, 68 and sunny on Saturday.
Talk Radio 680, WOGO.
No water, low pressure? Call Ken Olson Well Drilling and Pump Service. Just one call and 3 generations of experience get your water back running. Using industry-leading pumps and pressure tanks, quality is never an issue. If you're building new or relocating, Ken Olson Well Drilling does it all. From drilling and pumps to inspections and water sampling. When water is your problem, call the 7 days a week professional. Ken Olson Well Drilling and Pump Service, 715-832-7272.
Okay, admit it. You know you're ready for a change in janitorial services. Here at Wibwogo Radio, we've relied on Schleppenbach Janitorial for 8 years now. Alex has a personal approach as a local owner, and he won't demand a long-term contract. We know our building is clean and secure because they triple-check the doors. Schleppenbach Janitorial tailors the cleaning solutions to your business needs. With cold and flu season in full swing, it's time to make that call today. 723-6601. That's 723-6601.
While others see money as a goal, Thrivent sees it as a tool for serving God, family, and community. Hi, I'm Kathy Jensen, Area Financial Representative of Thrivent Financial. For more than a century, Thrivent has helped its nearly 2.5 million Christian members make financial decisions that reflect their values while helping them live generously. Find out more. Contact me, Kathy Jensen. Thrivent Financial, connecting faith and finances for good.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Chilson Automotive, family of dealers. Their family taking care of your family since 1959. Chilson Automotive. All right, so Donald Trump, the winner in New York, but then his son is the father of Ted Cruz, his main competitor, Trump's main competitor for the Republican nomination, Rafael Cruz, going on with Steve Bannon on Breitbart Radio this morning. On they do a morning show, Breitbart News Daily. It airs on Sirius XM Patriot 125 weekday mornings from 5 to 8 Central Time. You don't want to be listening to that. You want to be listening to the new Hugh Hewitt Show. We had guest hosts Guy Benson and Katie Pavlich today, including an interview with Governor Walker where he made some news that the question was, would you be inclined to run for another term? We'll give you that answer coming up. But first of all, Rafael Cruz making some news with Steve Bannon. Give this a listen from earlier today.
Rafael Cruz is the father of Senator Ted Cruz. He's also the author of a book that I recommend everybody pick up. It's called A Time for Action, Empowering the Faithful to Reclaim America. Before we let you go, Mr. Cruz, a lot of people have called in today and over the last couple of days, and these are people that like your son, like Ted Cruz. They like what he stands for. In fact, many of them said, hey, I would be a supporter of Ted Cruz, except for the following. I think, and what they're saying is, if I can paraphrase, they believe that Donald Trump, in a little bit because of not just his policies, but the, just the way he rolls, is got a better shot of taking on the Clinton apparatus than your son. What would you say to those people today as they go to the polls in New York? What would you tell them to think about?
Well, it's very simple, Steve. All they have to do is look at the polls. Poll after poll after poll after poll shows that if Donald Trump is a Republican nominee, he loses to Hillary Clinton by double digits. Donald Trump cannot beat Hillary Clinton. That would be the dream ticket for Hillary Clinton, because all the polls show that Donald Trump will lose, and will lose by a landslide to Hillary Clinton. His disapproval rate is in the high 60s. Two-thirds of Americans don't want Donald Trump. Donald Trump cannot win in the general election. We've got to realize Donald Trump really is more of a Democrat than a Republican. He has been funding Democratic people like Chuck Schumer, like Harry Reid, like Anthony Weiner, like de Blasio, and many others. For 40 years, he's been supporting all these ultra-liberal politicians. He would be worse than Hillary Clinton, but he cannot beat Hillary Clinton. If you want to have Republican leadership, the only alternative is a constitutional conservative like Ted Cruz, who will win, but also by a landslide.
Last thing, Mr. Cruz, Mitt Romney came out yesterday.
And so that is Rafael Cruz, apparently from yesterday. I thought it was today, but from yesterday with Steve Bannon getting a big headline attention on Drudge, the major Trump backer. But the big headline from Breitbart is Rafael Cruz, Donald Trump would be worse than Hillary Clinton, but he cannot beat Hillary Clinton. And again, I know a lot of people hold that opinion. A lot of folks do. Whether I talk to Everett Piper, the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, on Fridays in our opening segment on WIB and WIB.com. Whether I talk to, who else was I talking to? Various folks. And I don't believe that. I think Hillary, now I don't go, personally, I don't go as far as Scott Adams, of the Dilbert creator of the Dilbert comic strip and the Scott Adams blog, where he opines regularly on all things Trump, and I haven't seen today. I presume he does. But again, for me, I'm not a hashtag never Trumper, as both Guy Benson and Katie Pavlich filling in today were. I subscribe more to probably Hugh Hewitt's thinking. I think this election needs to be about not immigration and trade, which Trump says, but I think the war and the court, the war against Islamofascism, that's a big deal. I mean, national security, the commander-in-chief decision, and the court, and the Supreme Court. One nomination for sure to be filled by whoever steps in. Now, I think if Hillary's elected, a Republican Senate is going to go ahead and take up the nomination of Merrick Garland on right away November 9th. They'll start to set the hearing date, get it set. They'll hustle it along. Obama would be glad that his legacy would have somebody appointed to the court, and Republicans would settle for somebody if they lose, but they want the White House. And so who will be the nominee? Will it be Cruz or Trump? I think it'll be one of the two. Again, Rafael Cruz saying Donald Trump would be worse than Hillary Clinton, but he cannot beat Hillary Clinton. Your thoughts on that? 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think he could be, but he might also be. I think you're also taking the chance that he could be better and maybe a lot better. So, anyhow, that's the challenge out there. Now, these next pack of Northeast states next week, that again is going to bode well for Trump. He's going to truck along from the mid-800s and his delegates up towards 1,000. Right. And in fact, even one of the fellas on MSNBC who's doing the breakdown, Steve Kornacki, his delegate math had Trump making it to 1199, which would be 38 delegates short. And Kornacki was contending he could use some of the unbound Pennsylvania delegates to put him over the top. Pennsylvania votes next Tuesday. That's why candidates like Cruz have been there. But the fact is that a lot of their delegates stay unbound. So what about that? I have to say, I talked to a good friend yesterday. He's been a Cruz backer for quite a while in this race, going way back probably before Iowa, where one of his daughters lives. And he said he felt like nobody would get to 1237. I increasingly side on the fact that I think Trump can. And I don't necessarily think it would be after California. But I think that I believe that his folks are going to get this done in terms of somehow, some way getting there by the convention, and that it'll be similar to Ford. Ford didn't have enough, but through the process, Reagan had garnered more votes in 76, but and had really been building up the momentum, but Ford won the nomination. He lost the presidency. I don't know. I'm not as sure as people who just want to say, oh, he'll absolutely. I think you can't tell. It doesn't matter who you see. Hillary Clinton has said, you know, not all that long ago, he's like, polls now don't mean anything. It's April. The election's in November. Things can change. And now, even having some of that discussion around the water cooler here yesterday, and people are saying, and I'm saying this, I mean, is my whole heart behind a Donald Trump? It is what it is, right? We got Trump, we got Cruz. Kasich's an incredible long shot. I mean, he's on record here this morning after New York last night, picked up 6 delegates, all right? I think the first delegates he's got since he won Ohio more than a month ago. He still has fewer delegates than Rubio, and Rubio's been out for more than a month. But the fact is that, you know, Kasich said, okay, this next week is really serious time for people who want to see an open convention. I mean, Kasich knows it's a real, 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 real long shot. But there's that little window. Like Tim Alberta from National Review told us the other, there's that little window. I mean, Trump's best shot is the first ballot. They're pretty much saying they're all in for the first ballot. The head of his operations at the convention is saying, you know, it's not going to go to a second ballot. Ted Cruz knows he can no longer win on a first ballot. We've seen that coming. So it's all about the second or possibly third ballot. And for Kasich, it's all about a third or fourth ballot, knowing that that's a slim, slim, slim chance, unless, as some have speculated, he would somehow make a deal. Somehow speculating, what if he made a deal with Ted Cruz? Again, some have suggested, what if he makes a deal and says, listen, I'm older than you. I'll give you my delegates. You could be my running mate. This would be a way we could overcome Trump if we somehow banded together. But he's got to garner more delegates. Doesn't have enough. All right. Well, other things. Pat Buchanan saying, even if Trump wins, the West is doomed. This at the Daily Caller today. The former presidential candidate, conservative author Pat Buchanan, feels his views have been vindicated this election cycle by the success of Trump. But his next prediction, if proven right, won't be a celebratory matter as he sees the death of Western civilization on the horizon. Now, Buchanan has spoken like this before, obviously, with a couple of past books of his. In 2001, he released the book The Death of the West. He followed that book with The Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? And Buchanan, talking to the Daily Caller, saying, what we've gotten is proof that we were right. That telling the Daily Caller, I wouldn't say that Trump is a paleoconservative, and I don't think he's a social conservative. Buchanan telling the Daily Caller, I was just astonished to see him raise the precise issues on which we ran in the 90s. Donald Trump has raised three issues of real concern to paleoconservatives and traditional conservatives like myself. The three stances that Trump hits on to Buchanan's contentment are border security, okay, well, immigration, border security, economic nationalism, the trade issue, and being skeptical of these endless wars and interventions. Buchanan says, I think many folks who agree with me have welcomed Trump into the race, saying that the very fact that the neocons seem so disconsolate is icing on the cake. Buchanan, not only opposed to immigration and trade, but also a staunch social conservative, has had several divorces and has previously held pro-choice views, making it tough for some to support him regarding Donald Trump. Yeah, Buchanan, though, said, I think Trump respects the position of the social conservatives. And in fairness, he's done that. I mean, abortion isn't his biggest issue, but he articulates a pro-life position. And don't we in the pro-life camp want somebody to come over from the abortion rights side onto pro-life? Yes, he's walked through some challenging interviews like the one with Chris Matthews, but he's standing strong today with 89 delegates picked up in his home state of New York yesterday. So what I want to know about the headline of the story in the Daily Caller is Pat Buchanan, even if Trump wins, the West is doomed. So, well, when Buchanan's asked if a Trump victory in the U.S. and the success of groups such as the National Front in France could offset this demise, Buchanan, not hopeful. He tells the Daily Caller, do I think those books stand up very well? Yep. The West is disintegrating, says Buchanan. Get this now. He says, its faith is dead. When the cult dies, the culture dies. And when the culture dies, the civilization dies. And when the civilization dies, the people die. And that's what's happening to Western civilization. Buchanan, especially grim about Europe, saying, it's hard for me to see how the Europeans survive, whether they have the will, just given the trend lines in terms of population and in terms of immigrants pouring in. He tells the Daily Caller, I'm not a great optimist about the Western civilization. All right. Also, Jamie Weinstein from Daily Caller. Now, Jamie, the last I heard, he was the boyfriend of, he was dating Michelle Fields, the reporter from Breitbart who resigned after the whole dust-up on, was it March 8th with Corey Lewandowski from the Trump campaign. So he's not a big fan of Trump. But Jamie Weinstein works with Daily Caller. And I think it's going to be sitting in on the Hugh Hewitt show in coming days, 5 to 8 weekday mornings here on WOGO. When Hugh goes on that cruise he had booked even before the change to mornings. So Weinstein's comments, don't make too much of Trump's big win in New York. Well, it's momentum, Jamie. But he points out Trump won his home state by a massive margin, but he says any talk about the Republican race nearing an end is far premature. Says Weinstein, Trump will likely win he won 89 of the 95 delegates. So it significantly boosts him, right, into the mid-800s. He's got to get to 1237, we know that. And his best, and I believe only shot, is on that first ballot. And so Weinstein says, Trump's the only candidate left in the race who can win the nomination in the first ballot, but it is far from certain he'll ultimately succeed. And again, that's where it's kind of a parlor game. I'm saying for you... For me, I'm kind of increasingly leaning towards thinking he'll get there. Not that he'll even be there after California, but I just believe that, you know, again, it's kind of like an air attack and a ground attack. If you think about football, which most of us love, I mean, the Trump campaign, such a good air attack in terms of use of the media, et cetera, but the Cruz campaign, very well organized. And look for them to be all in well, do what they can next Tuesday, but... their firewall is going to be Indiana. And so Weinstein says that. He says May 3rd and June 7th are the two most important days in the primary calendar left, and they'll likely determine Trump's fate. Well, Jamie's saying that because I know he's not a Trump fan. I know his animus for them only grew through what happened between his, as I understand, girlfriend, Michelle Fields, and the Trump campaign. But April 26th is going to be another boost. It's going to be another big boost for Trump. But, okay, let's see why. He says what he does. He says, on May 3rd, voters in Indiana go to the polls, and no one has any real idea of what will happen. It's a pretty conservative state, though. Weinstein says that some say Indiana is Ted Cruz country. Others say Trump will win the state like he did many of the states bordering it. But since there are no public polls of the Hoosier state, there's no polling data to back up either contention. Why are there no public polls? They don't do that. Weinstein says a Trump win in Indiana would be much more significant than his win yesterday in New York and make it much more likely that he'd hit the 1237 on the first ballot. If he doesn't win Indiana and the majority of its 57 delegates, then the California Republican primary on June 7th, says Weinstein, becomes even more critical than it already is. You got 172 delegates. What is it, 10? Is it 10 for the statewide winner? Yeah, 10 for the statewide winner and 54 congressional districts that are three delegates apiece. And Weinstein says, he says that if the nomination contest is determined by more than one ballot at the convention in July, Trump is very unlikely to be the Republican nominee. I'll tell you, that's true, but can you imagine just the blowout? I mean, just because Trump is such a persuasive speaker, and especially, you know, more than any with those who are his devoted adherents. And so when he talks about the upset, and again, his cries of foul, right, even if they're illegitimate cries and complaints, as Cruz squared off with Hannity here, I'm looking at the clip at Real Clear Politics. Notion of voterless elections is nonsense. Only Trump supporters asking about Colorado. But nonetheless, Trump, by harping on it so much, has forced Ted Cruz to, you know, more than a week after Colorado, forced him to still have to try to defend it. So anyhow, it's pretty interesting. We'll see what happens as this continues to go forward. Meanwhile, Paul Ryan on with Stephen Colbert last night. We've got it for you next, WOGO.
Lake Halley Golf, a must-play 18-hole course along the Chippewa River and Lake Halley.
Oh, not just your country store. Stockman Farm Supply and more.
Get your spring fencing now. Find Lily Green gates made with 18-gauge steel tubing, red heavy-duty gates, both in sizes from 4 to 20 feet, plus bale feeders, galvanized wired cattle and hog panels, barbed wire fencing, and T-posts.
Stockman Farm Supply and more.
In Osseo and Wilson.
Gene's back from Chilson Subaru, getting everybody ready for spring with a Subaru.
We have an excellent selection of pre-owned Subaru Outbacks, Legacy, Impreza, and Forester models to choose from. Purchase a certified Subaru and receive our 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and its factory-backed coverage from Subaru. Plus, on select models, you can receive financing as low as 0.99% with no money down and approved credit for up to 36 months now through April 30th.
What else does Subaru offer for features?
Subaru offers great gas mileage, standard all-wheel drive, and on our certified models, a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, and we now have over 100 pre-owned Subaru models in stock to choose from right now.
If somebody's ready to get themselves into a used Subaru, how do they do it?
Join us for the Subaru Love Strikes Twice event. Call, click, or visit Chilson Subaru on Highway 93 in Eau Claire or visit us on the web at ChilsonSubaru.com.
Subject to insurance and vehicle availability.
Parents, Fellowship of Christian Athletes Junior Sports Camps are back this June for building skills, fun, and commitment to Jesus. Boys and girls entering 2nd through 7th grade can work on basketball, football, or soccer. The Chippewa Valley Camp will be June 13th and 14th at an Eau Claire area middle school. The Menominee Camp will be June 16th and 17th at Menominee High School. Local coaches and athletes will teach campers to glorify God through athletics. To register, go to wisconsinfca.org.
Advertise on News Talk Sports 680. Call 723-1037.
Well, some news made In a Guy Benson interview with Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, it was done yesterday, recorded yesterday, aired today in the 6 o'clock hour of the Hugh Hewitt Show here on FM 103.1 AM 680 and WOGO.com. Benson, knowing he wouldn't get a commitment from Scott Walker that he would run for a third term for governor, asked him if he is inclined to run, I believe is how he phrased it.
Yeah, I am without a doubt. I love what I do. We can get good things done. It's a benefit to the people in Wisconsin, but I think it also has a positive impact on people across the country. If we can show other Republican governors and Republican lawmakers that even in a blue state like Wisconsin, we can get positive reforms done.
All right, and then finally, Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, on with Stephen Colbert last night on CBS. And Colbert, I believe we've got it, that we had it here. All right, well, let's see. We just, here we go. Well, I had just edited it in the other studio, and unfortunately, they transitioned not real clean to the updated content here on WOGO. So we wait for that update to occur. All right. Well, I think I could take care of that. We'll just do it a little different way. And as the clock is ticking, we're about out of showtime. All right. Well, you get transitioned from one studio to another in terms of trying to edit content. But Stephen Colbert with Paul Ryan last night on CBS.
Presidential nominee could be a Gilmore Girls reboot. But the hot name on a lot of Republican lips right now is Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. They believe, one person clapping, yes. They believe he would be a better alternative to Trump and Cruz, more likely to attract moderate voters and less likely to haunt your Robitussin-induced nightmares. But, good, handsome man. He's a handsome man. But Ryan keeps insisting he will not run.
So let me be clear. I do not want, nor will I accept the nomination for our party. Count me out. I should not be considered. Period. End of story.
Okay, end of story. For more on the story, let's go live via satellite to late show Speaker Paul Ryan expert, Speaker Paul Ryan. Speaker Ryan, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Stephen. Good to be with you.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is your first appearance on a late-night show.
It is. It is.
Well, I'm honored. That's what we call in our business an exclusive.
Happy to provide one.
Yeah. Fair warning, we call everything an exclusive, though. Now, there has been much speculation as to whether you would accept the nomination in a contested Republican convention. You have said no, and I accept that. What I want to talk to you about today is your agenda for House Republicans in 2016. How does your message differ as the speaker from what we're hearing from the presidential candidates?
Well, one of the things that we're building here in the House Republicans is we're offering an agenda to the country for how we fix our country's big problems. 71% of Americans don't like the direction the country's headed. We think we owe our fellow citizens a better way forward. So we're going to tackle the issues, economic growth, patient-centered health care, how do you move people from welfare to work, how do you secure national security, restore self-government. We want to give the people of this country a very coherent choice by giving them an agenda that gets this country back on track, and we want to take this agenda to the country to ask for a mandate to put these things in place in 2017. That's what we're working on here. We want to have an ideas campaign, not a personality contest. And that's what we think here in the House we can do and provide to our fellow citizens.
Well, that's a powerful message, a message that the American people will certainly respond to if it comes from the mouth of the future Republican nominee. Yes or no, would you accept the nomination?
No, Stephen. I have said I do not want, nor would I accept the Republican nomination.
Got it. So you're considering the nomination?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'll give you some time to mull this one over. How about now?
Still no.
So that's a maybe?
No, it's a no.
Like a no-no? Or one of those, no, I don't want to be Speaker of the House, but I'll accept it if you just give it to me no's?
It's a no-no. And two no-nos make a yes? No, they make a firmer no, period.
Okay. All right, there you go. Paul Ryan on with Stephen Colbert last night. Hey, Marco, you're authorized Canon, HP, Konica, a Minolta dealer, and be car care aware. Listen for the car care tip of the day. Weekdays brought to you by your area Eau Claire and Lake Halley Auto Value Auto Parts stores. That's the latest. So long.